But I'm just going to read Proverbs 9 before that, which I think will come up on the screen, actually, so you can check if I get it right or not. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits on the floor of a house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that their guests are deep in the realm of the dead." Dan, I will just pray for you now, actually. Thank you for Dan coming to speak to us this evening, Lord. We ask that you will speak through him. Your spirit will move in this place. Change our hearts, Lord. In your name, amen.
Thank you very much. And I want to add my own warm welcome to each of you, whether this is your first time, whether you're visiting, or you are a regular here. It's great to have you. I want to begin this talk by getting you to imagine that you're coming up to something you celebrate, whether that's a birthday in the family or your own birthday, maybe a wedding anniversary, or maybe something like Christmas. You come home from being out all day, and when you open up your door, you see on your doormat a small envelope. You open it up, and in this envelope is one of those experience vouchers, one of those things where you can redeem it, and it says you can go along to a restaurant. Now, I wonder how many of you have ever received one of those, or even used these kind of things before. My wife and I actually, for our wedding last year, asked for quite a few of these. Genuinely, it's a great idea for a present if you don't actually know what to get someone. And I want you in your mind to go along, pick up the voucher, look at it, and see what this experience is actually for. And as you read it, you see that it says on there, "Meal experience, great feast, eat and grow in wisdom." And with this voucher, you go onto the website and it gives you two choices of where to eat. And it contains the names of two very, very different restaurants. The first one is a very classy restaurant, somewhere you've never actually been to before. You're not sure if you're going to like the food. And the second one is a fast food place. It promises a lot of fun, lots of gimmicks. You know the food very, very well. It might actually be your favorite place to eat. Now, as I said, this voucher promises a chance to grow in your wisdom wherever you go, whatever you decide out of the two. This is true, but it's not exactly certain and obvious what kind of wisdom is on offer at either meal. And we live in a culture today that is seeking wisdom. You can go online and find articles and books all about wisdom, all about how to become more wise, or even to just grow in the appearance of being wise. And the dictionary definition of wisdom is this: the ability to make sound judgments and decisions by applying accumulated knowledge, deep understanding, and life experience. And this is true from the Bible as well. And by reading Proverbs, we see what it means to not only be wise, but also foolish. And I wonder where the world would say is the beginning of wisdom. Maybe the world would say it's from observing others and seeing things go well or badly. Maybe they would say it's by devoting yourself to spending your life learning. And as a church, we are spending our summer Sundays going through this great Old Testament book of Proverbs, which is clear on where wisdom begins from our passage tonight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To put it simply, we need to get our relationships right with God to begin true wisdom. To fear the Lord is not to recoil in terror, but it's actually to respect his true power in deep reverence and authority, leading to us obeying his call for us. To be foolish is to do exactly the opposite. It's to hear his call and turn away from it, go against it. And in the first part of Proverbs, the first half, and in this chapter here, we are introduced to two very different women, Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly. Now, remember that experience voucher we received at the start? Well, it gave us those two choices. The first restaurant to choose from is called the Seven Pillars. Now, you see this name, you decide, I want to go and research this restaurant. You see this photo, you see it's got a beautiful, elegant interior, has seven magnificent pillars that will ensure that this roof is secure. It's not going to collapse on you at any moment. And it's owned by a lovely woman called Lady Wisdom. She is so warm and she is so welcoming. And then you look at the menu and you see that it's full of properly prepared meats, wines, and other natural foods that are really good for you. There's not an ounce, not even a single gram of food that is ultra processed. When you see what's on the menu, you know exactly what it is. And even better is that there's enough for everyone. Anyone who wants to walk through those doors, there's enough for them. Enough for anyone who wants to feast what is on offer from Lady Wisdom. And as you go around the website, a pop-up comes up. And it says this message: let all who are simple come to my restaurant. To those who have no sense, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. And this is a bold claim that might actually put some people off. But when you read the reviews, you hear lots and lots of good things about this restaurant. You don't understand what this all means, but you've got questions that are raised when you see all the stuff. And you think, if I go here, I can get my questions answered. But there are some strange things that come up when you look at that line on the pop-up. Why are my ways simple? And am I not actually living now? Well, this restaurant will actually provide understanding where there was confusion. But you have to go through a journey to get there. Because not everything will become clear straight away, but over time it does. And the Christian life is like that. It can be chaotic and confusing. And I wonder how many of us here this evening have asked a question along the lines of, why am I doing this with my life? Or, why am I where I am? And let me tell you, it's normal to ask those questions. In fact, choosing the Seven Pillars, this restaurant, and eating your meal here leads to a change of attitude. In fact, it doesn't change our attitude, but also helps us to get to know and love those who are there as well. Verses 8 and 9. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. Eating the food here means you will rebuke or challenge in a stern way the others who are there, who are seeking to be wise. But this challenge isn't done out of arrogance, but it's because of their own mistakes and actually how we've grown or other people have grown, because they are seeking to leave behind simple ways. And feasting with Lady Wisdom should help us to grow because of the nutrients and the knowledge it provides us, it gives us. Because this isn't a feast full of processed rubbish, all that junk, but there's so much of what we need there. It contains everything, actually, that we need. But there are other calls for us. Not only do we need to share and teach in the wisdom that we have, but actually we need to have teachable hearts. Jesus' disciples weren't scholars. They weren't remarkable people, but they were very ordinary men. Some were fishermen, some were tax collectors. They had regular jobs, but they shared the traits we see here in Proverbs 9. They left their simple ways behind them, and they were teachable. They wanted to give themselves to growing in their knowledge of what Jesus had to say. They devoted themselves to this. Okay, so we've done a dive into the restaurant of the Feast of Lady Wisdom. Now we look at the website of a restaurant that belongs to another woman. This restaurant is called Folly's Feast, and it has the tagline, "Quick bites and stolen sips, open since Solomon was wise." Now, the owner of this restaurant is called Dame Folly. Now, she is an unruly, loud, obnoxious woman. Actually, when you go through the website, you see a photo of her just sitting outside on a chair, a megaphone in her hand. And then, like the website for Lady Wisdom's restaurant, a pop-up comes on the screen. "Let all who are simple come here. My water is the sweetest, and the food is best eaten in secret. It is delicious." Now, this may not also be a message you want to have pop up when you want people to come to your restaurant, but it seems to be working. The photos show plenty of people inside eating, enjoying their food. And this restaurant has the selling point of being at the highest point in the city. You can see it wherever you go. And as you go on the website, you go around it more and more, you see more pictures. You see that it's full of even more gimmicks than you realized. There's plenty of live entertainment as well. And we heard about the food and the drink at the Seven Pillars, where we know exactly what it is. But what about the food and drink here at Folly's Feast? Well, we see that it is full of flavor, the water. It's sweet. It satisfies any cravings that we may have. But this isn't water that's gotten in the right way. Actually, Dame Folly boasts that she's gotten it in the wrong way. She's stolen it. And she claims that it's made sweeter because of the exciting way that she got it. She knows she shouldn't have it. And the people going there, they don't know that quite yet. But when they get it, it doesn't stop them from drinking it. And in verse 17, Dame Folly is drawing you in, enticing you, by promising that if you eat the food in secret and drink this stolen water, there's going to be no consequences. But drinking this water and eating that food is a known foolish thing to do. but it still feels good to do so. And the food in this place is ultra processed. You haven't got a clue what's in it. When I think about this, I think of 2013, the Findus lasagna scandal. It's something that actually me and the other members of staff here have had quite a number of conversations about in the last month or so. And for those of you who don't know, it was a scandal that found the company Findus, who used to supply Tesco with ready meal beef lasagnas, and actually put horse meat into their lasagnas. And in a place like Folly's Feast, it is like that. What you think you're eating isn't always what you're getting. Dame Folly's menu says, get your food, eat it in secret. Don't let people see you eat it. It's really tasty, but I'm not going to tell you what's in it. But what are the foods that we like to eat in secret? By this I mean, what are the things that the enemy would use to entice and draw us in and help us be satisfied by? What do we do that we really like doing but would hate to be held accountable for? For me, one of the things that I've really had to battle with is control. When things go the way I plan, it's a good thing. There's pride. I mean, who doesn't like things when they go the way they want? I mean, for me, when I get things going the right way, I make things about myself. How great it is that I did things with my control. But if we were to select the seven pillars as the place we will eat, then that's not the way that Proverbs calls us to live. Let's take Proverbs 3:5-7, for example. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I want to rework this to show how I think Dame Folly would want us to think and live. So, like the Blue Peter saying is, here's one I made earlier. Trust in yourself with all your heart. Lean on your own understanding. Submit to your own desires because they lead you on the right paths. Be wise in your own eyes. Shun the Lord. Do what you want. I think by looking at this version, I see really how the world thinks and acts. You only have to look at the news, you only have to look at social media, the streets of Western culture and secularism, to see just how individualistic we have become over the last few decades. And it's this foolishness that causes the division we're seeing. And it does the exact opposite of what 3:8 says. The temptation is to think that by eating at Folly's Feast and following individualism, that it's bringing health to our body and true nourishment, when really we're deep in the realm of the dead. They don't really know what they're doing when they're eating this food and drinking that water. They don't know the harm that these things are doing to the bodies. Actually, people think they're being wise in doing this. And this foolish way of living has a very big name: hedonism. And that is the special combo meal that you get at Folly's Feast. It will make you feel good for a short time, because it does what it's designed to do, to feel good, but it's doing it in the wrong way. And our verses show that this leads to ultimate death and destruction and decay. People are broken and need to be careful on what and who they're listening to. We need to be careful. And some great teaching from Jesus, which is found in Matthew chapter 7, helps us to figure out who to listen to follow, and what the consequences of who we choose to follow and listen to. We can either be like the wise man who builds their house on the rock with strong foundations, or we can be like the fool who builds their house on sand with weak, brittle foundations. Jesus tells us in those verses that going to the Seven Pillars restaurant will lead to lasting change where we build secure foundations within the kingdom of God. We will be rewarded because of our wisdom. It will enable us to handle the many challenges that come in life. And we will be able to face the mockers, the harsh words, the slanderers, and even find strength against the tasty secret food. And that warning for the fools who want to remain at folly's feast, well, that's just going to lead to a life where even the slightest storm, we turn to things that cause harm, that damage our bodies. I've seen people who before and even after they became Christians were using things that made them feel good as crutches. And it got to a point where they recognized that those things they were turning to, like drugs, alcohol, pornography, control, were not actually making them feel good, but taking them down a dangerous, windy path. And I'd like to encourage anyone who is here this evening who is struggling with something like I have just mentioned, to come to the prayer corner or to come to speak to me afterwards. And whether this is your first time here, whether you're a believer or not, I would love to pray for you. And we have people here who would also love to pray for you. Because you're not alone here. We all have struggles, and part of being a Christian is learning to recognize when we've been foolish and continue to drink that stolen water and eating the secret food. Because it's a daily battle for each of us here. And the feast at Seven Pillars is so good. You know what's in there. You know how it will benefit you. And there's a feast that Christians do celebrate and enjoy together. One that was shown by Jesus himself. We call this Feast Communion. And it's great that we get to share it this evening. We don't need to hide the fact that we're eating the bread and drinking the wine. But actually, we can come together with joyful hearts, with an attitude of thankfulness and remembrance. Because we can think about that day over 2,000 years ago when Jesus broke that bread and drank the wine with his disciples and told them to come to the table to remember his sacrifice on the cross. We can be thankful to God because we can turn away from the simple lives that where we no longer need to live a life of those crutches or temporary satisfaction, when we can have the best thing for us, a place at that table with Jesus. Living the life of wisdom when we come to the table with Jesus means that we reverently fear God. And by seeking to honor the God who made us, we can seek to follow the example of the one who sacrificed himself for us. It means that we choose not to go for the ultra-processed garbage that folly has on offer, even if it feels good to eat and taste, because it means that we ultimately want to choose the way of spiritual growth and nourishment over death and decay and all sorts of issues. And I want to leave us a couple of questions to really think about. Which restaurant do you want to select with your voucher? And if you are currently eating or really wanting to feast at Folly's table, what's stopping you from coming to the table with Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the invitation that we receive to come and eat at your table. To feast on that bread, to drink that wine, that helps us to remember your son's sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for opening the door so that we can enter. In your name I pray. Amen. And as I said, we're going to be taking communion together the next few moments. We're going to come forwards to pick up the bread and the wine and then take it back to our seats where we will eat and drink together after listening to a song that in the chorus says, we will feast in the house of Zion. We will feast in the place where God's dwelling place is, the Holy of Holies that we can now be a part of.